we had had parties like the weekend before, and in the meantime, I kid you not, a red balloon had gotten stuck up there and floated down. And so there's still a little bit of, you know, like helium in it. So I flip on the lights and I turn. There's like an intersection, right? It's a big old square kind of facility with play structure in the middle. So I turn, look down the left hallway, and there's this balloon. Whoa! And I was like, nope.
Welcome to the What's Everybody podcast, where we fashion ourselves cinematic judge and jury. My name is JJ Crowder. I'm here with my co-host, Matt Sennheiner.
Better red than dead.
And Alec Burgess.
Let's get it. That feels right.
Yeah, I felt better. Go listen to the last episode if you want to know why we said that. We appreciate you tuning in. Go ahead and hit that follow, subscribe, like, bell notification button. Tell a friend about us. Tell a family member about us. Tell us your tell your childhood friends about us, that group that you used to hang out with. Don't tell Killer Clowns from Space about us on either movie, the one we're going to talk about, and then actual movie called Killer Clowns from Space. Don't tell those guys. We don't like them. Which, by the way, if we ever did a horror movie
festival, we are a killer clown free podcast.
That would be one of my choices, is the 1984 classic Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And before we get into our movie that we are going to talk about for our April horror bonanza, let's talk about our sponsor, Manscaped. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. And it's unfortunate, but did you know that one man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer? In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35. And with April being National Testicular Cancer Awareness, which I think Awareness Month, I think works in our favor, Alec, because you're proving that your testicular fortitude was better than you thought it was. So it fits the month and the theme, you know what I mean? And with our sponsor working with Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection, which you can help yourself by visiting manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use promo code TheVerdict to get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Yeah, man, like, I like it. I was thinking about that. I was like, ah, Alex got bigger balls than he thought, so he definitely needs a Manscaped shaver that they sent him to keep those things nice and furry free. So,
especially since winter's over.
JJ, I have a poem here.
Oh, I love it, like, when we have a Mattson poem. Let's hear it.
In the realm of Manscaped, where precision's the game, a redhead steps forth, no 2 days the same. With a tool so gentle, under the moon's soft light, he trims and he shapes, keeping things just right. But then comes the movie, oh, it's scary and grim. He jumps and he yelps on every single whim. Ghouls and ghosts, they leap from the screen while he checks his testicles, keeping them clean. Testicular cancer, it's no laughing matter, but he's vigilant and aware amidst the movie's chatter. With Manscaped in hand, he's on a mission to keep his balls healthy. That's his ambition. In his dance of contrast, they find their groove, a redhead Manscaped in a scary movies that move. A tale of two worlds, one serious, one fun, in the fight against cancer. He's already won.
Dude.
You get weirder and weirder.
I know, but that's your best one yet. Like, seriously, like, testicles in hand. That was fabulous, dude. Like, I cannot wait to send that over to Manscaped so that they can approve it and say yes, because that they're gonna love that shit. Thank you, Mattson. That made my evening. And in addition to, you know, as Mattson talked about, they provide the right tools and solutions for comfortable and easy grooming. Manscaped is committed to raising awareness and helping support our fighters, survivors, and family members that are impacted by testicular cancer. That poem is it's epic. And so that's why they will be donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society, help save lives and balls, by going over to manscaped.com/TCS and sharing their funny educational check yourself video. And maybe tell them about the poem that you just heard. And then while you're at it, grab 20% off plus free shipping with the code TheVerdict, all one word, because like a famous American philosopher once said, take care of your chicken, your balls, and your mentals, and always listen to Mattson poems. So there we go. Thanks, Manscaped. We appreciate your sponsorship and love the fact that you're supporting the Testicular Cancer Society. We appreciate everything you do for us, so, and for them. So with that, let's jump into our episode. We're talking today about It, Chapter 1. It was released September 8th, 2017. It was written by Chase Palmer and Kerry Joji Fukunaga. It was directed by Andy Muschietti. It stars Bill Skarsgård, Jaden Martell, Finn Wolfhard, Sophia Lillis, Jeremy Ray Taylor, Chosen Jacobs, Jack Dylan Grazer, Wyatt Olef, Nicholas Hamilton, Jake Sim, and Pitt Dwyer. In the summer of 1989, a group of bully kids band together to destroy a shape-shifting monster, which disguises itself as a clown and preys on the children of Derry, their small main town. That's a good one there. Nice little synopsis. I'm gonna take a step back. Look, I love this movie. I have an obsession with the book It, and then when I was a kid in the 90s, they came out with the mini series that was amazing. And so, at least when I was a kid, it scared the shit out of me. So with that, I want to hear, Alec, this was your choice. You kind of tortured yourself on this one, I feel like.
Alec, had you seen this before?
Yes. So this is the only really? One I'd seen before.
Tell us why and how. Times.
Oh, easy. So when this came out, Oshi and I had been dating for about 2.5 months. So I couldn't exactly be my full cowardly self yet. I still, pretend like I was not a little bitch.
Yeah. So you're saying you had to watch the horror movie to save the relationship.
I saw this fucker in theaters. Ooh. This is where I lost my faith in humanity, because the amount of like infants that were dragged to this theater with their parents. What? Shocked me. Oh, full theater packed, and like people were parking their strollers outside the theater and picking up their like 1-year-old and taking them in. Now I said they're going, what the?
Only in Arizona.
Yeah. Fuck.
What's wrong with all? When I had to watch this at home, like it was hard to figure out how to do this when Banks is awake. It's like, I'm not letting him see this image of a clown in his little 7-year-old brain. This does not need to be there.
Yeah. No, that's I love that. Brought their kids, but I love that you went and saw it in theaters.
Yeah,
and probably
shocking, right? I was trying to get late, and so saw it the first time. I kid you not, I watched it like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially like the hey Georgie, at the beginning, and then Georgie. The basement scene.
With
Pennywise, where he just does the like shake thing, that got me bad.
Yeah.
So I survived watching it just barely, but I was terrified. And then I agreed to watch it like a year or two later before the second one came out.
Gotcha.
To rewatch this at home, right? Like
with the lights on
in the middle of the day. I did. And so, you know, win all across the board. But I watched it again. And so I've seen this one 3 times now. This is the third time I've seen this. It's the only horror movie I've seen multiple times.
Good for you,
And it actually got a little bit easier each time because I know where the scary shit is.
Sure.
So I could prep myself, right, and do my do my this. But this one, like as soon as we get down the sewers, for me, it takes a little bit more of a comedy spin.
Yeah.
And if you give me an ounce, an inch, whatever in a horror movie, I'm jumping on that.
Sure.
And I can turn to my advantage. We talked about Talk to Me last week. Australians, I'm in. I'm not scared anymore. Yeah, and so if you give me that little inch, I'm going to take the whole mile. And so as soon as we get down to the sewers and it starts to get a little bit more on the funny side and less, you know, psychopathic terror.
Yeah,
what specifically made it funnier for you or helped you on that vibe?
I don't even know. It's just the fact that it was almost you took the mystery out of it.
Yeah.
And then we see Pennywise doing his Pennywise stuff. And I'm like, you know, he's acting more like a clown. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, funny. I'm OK. And it really takes the terror out of it for me.
You should really watch part two.
I've seen part two.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Once.
God, yeah.
Never again.
Yeah.
Married now. I don't have to worry about doing stuff just to get laid.
That's fair. That's fair. Except things like the dishes and fucking laundry, shit like
that. Yeah, exactly. You know,
I got you. Yeah, because the sewer in part two is a little less funny until they start fucking, till the way they beat him. But then, yeah, I'm with you. Like, but I like, so for me, well, first of all, I want to ask Mattson, because I want to hear your guys' thoughts around this, because this is one of my, yeah, I like this.
Yeah, I mean, I remember it, like the, was it the TV version or was it a movie? What was it?
Yeah, it was a TV miniseries.
I don't think I saw the whole miniseries, but I definitely saw the good chunk of it to the end. And so I was like, oh, that this is. And then when the new one came, I was like, okay, I know what this is, but I had no aspirations to see it in theater. But I always, and during the month of October for Halloween, I watched scary movies. And I think at some point I just decided like, F it, I'm going to do it. And, but I was like, I'm going to do it during the day because I'm not stupid watching this by myself at night, like JJ who goes to theaters by himself. That's yes, a stupid decision. Don't do it. And so I saw it. And so I think I've seen this at least twice. I think I've seen it three times now. And I wouldn't say for me, I think it's a very well done story. And that's what resonated with me the first time. I was like, oh, like there's, this is why people like this movie, because that's what I remember about the old one. Is this was a horror movie that had a good story to it. It wasn't just like jump scares and gore. It actually had sustenance to it. And then when I watched it for real, I agreed with it. I was like, okay, like solid, like well-told narrative. But having seen it a couple times now, I know what to expect. And it's not really like a scary movie for me anymore. Obviously, like you still get a little uncomfortable when he's doing his in the basement. You're like, ah, like how he runs. But the one that still gets me, still got me when I watched a couple of days ago was the librarian scene. I just, it's uncomfortable. There's no way, like, I mean, there's far scarier things in this movie, but that scene, like, I just don't like it. Just, I do not like it.
Yeah, the tension in that scene is really well done. Like,
oh boy.
Yeah.
It, like, I could watch it right now. I feel the same. Like, it does not make me feel good.
Yeah. The one that gets me, so I have to give a little back. So I've read this book at least three times, I think, like the actual book. And the book is hard to read. Like there's some parts that don't show up in the movie, rightly so. There's also some parts in the movie, in the book that I wish were in the movie. Like the bullies, like in the TV series and the movie, like you don't see the bullies. There's also a scene from like really early on that introduces you to like how brutal and ugly it is. And so, and it's right at the beginning of the book, like you're introduced, there's a murder that happens and it's like, oh, it's rough. And then, and it's motivated by a very ugly thing that we can resonate with today, I think. And so it's just really, it's rough. It's hard to let read. And then it is a shape-shifting monster. And in the movies, it's hard to portray that. And you get to see a little bit more of it in the movie than we did in the TV series. But even the movie doesn't lean into it as much as the book does. Each character, and they show it a little bit like this. They have the zombie or the mummy for the kid that is like the clean freak and his mom.
But I think at times, like when I watched it originally, sorry to interject, JJ, I thought it was more like a minion of it, or like it conjured that, but it wasn't it itself. But I now know like that was it. But the movie, and this is where one of the things I would critique, like that connection for someone who hasn't read the book isn't fully there. It's not in your face enough. Like, you know, it's the, like the mystery of it, but like it doesn't feel like it's it, if that makes sense.
Yep. No, I agree. And that's, it's because the clown form is so well known and understood, and you know, and that's partly to do with the TV show. And it's interesting. So something else I want to talk about is the fact that like Tim Curry as it in the TV show, like I was worried when they were talking about they were going to remake it, because I don't like Tim Curry is horrifying in the series. Like there are some parts of the miniseries that weren't that great, but it had an amazing adult cast. It actually had an amazing kid cast as well, but the adults were like really good. And then Tim Curry was it. And Tim Curry for me is like, he's amazing. Like I love Tim Curry. He's so underrated, but like he killed it as this clown. He's creepy. He's just, oh fuck, I just don't like him. So I was really worried, but then we know Bill Skarsgård just absolutely demolishes this part, like takes it, makes it his own, and really does a great job. But I wish they had done a little bit, like one of the things like it did, they did the mummy. One of them's the creature from the Black Lagoon. And like, so there's all these monsters that are attached more to the kids themselves and what their actual fears are. And like I said, this movie plays on that much more. And even the second part plays on that much more than the miniseries did, because they didn't have the budget and they didn't have the effects for this miniseries. But I still wanted a little bit more, because in the book it's horrifying, because you're like, this monster knows us so well that it knows every little thing that terrifies me, like, you know, the dad and the mom for, and then Richie with like the big, you know, the freaking big statue thing. And so it's just like, but I wanted just a little bit more. With that said, that's the only thing that bothers me about this remake of it. Like, and that's true for everything, because I've read the book and it's a 1200 page book. I mean, it's massive. But everything else is so good in this, including Bill Skarsgård. That guy, something wrong with him. Like, I love him and I like watching movies with him in it, but there, that dude. So funny story, Mattson, before we were recording, you were watching the Jimmy Kimmel interview, I think it was. And so he does the smile. Later on in that interview, they're talking about some of these kids that he stars with. And that the scene that gets me, so you were talking about the scene that gets you, and besides the basement scene, because I'm with you, Alec, that scene's pretty rough. Like, even for me, I'm like, oh, God. But Jack Dylan Glazer, the guy that plays Eddie Kasprak, like when he gets his arm broken in that house and it crawls out of the fridge, like he flips himself upside down, like rearranges. And then he runs and he's just drooling all over him and he's yelling in this kid's face. So that was one of the first scenes they filmed for these poor kids. And here, and they didn't get to spend time. They didn't get to see him, Skarsgård, before they filmed. Like, this is the first time they're seeing him, is this scene. And he comes at him and he's fucking drooling all over him and he's yelling at him and he's in his face. So they do this take, and later in that interview, Bill Skarsgård, he's like, he's crying and there's tears running down his face. And he's like, I'm sitting here going, I am fucking mutilating this kid's childhood. Like, I am destroying him. So he says, we finish, they say cut. This kid stands up and he goes, dude, I really like what you're doing with the character. Great job. Great job. And then he's like, I was like, the fuck is wrong with this kid? Like, and he's like, so he was like really cool, because he's like, these kids are super professionals. If you haven't watched it, the interview is really great to watch all of it, because they talk about more than just it. But that part really made me laugh. And these kids, especially, I think Finn Wolfhard, the kid that plays Bill, and then Eddie Kasprak, that kid, just do so good for me in this movie. Like, the fear is palpable. Like, you believe in their ability to be brave when they need to, but they're horrified the rest of the time. And like, I think this, I was really skeptical, but when it came out and I went and saw it, I was like, fuck yeah, they did a great job with this movie. So it scarred me as a child, the 90s version. Like, I don't get scared a lot, but I was really young. I think I was like 10 years old, 11 years old. And my cousin Chad, the one who locked me in the fucking basement, said, I'm watching it. You fuckers got to stay in the room with me. And I'm peeing myself. You know what I mean? Because I was a kid. And here's a bunch of kids getting chased by a fucking clown. So I have never liked clowns. And yeah, that movie scarred me. It's that version. But now I'm like, as an adult, I'm like, let's do this shit. And I loved it. So kudos to the acting in this.
I can't look at a red balloon the same way.
Yeah.
After watching this. And so when I first watched it, I went to the theaters and I had worked the next day or something like that. And I was opening. So I had to go into this open facility by myself. Emergency lighting was on, which was nice. But we had parties like the weekend before. And in the meantime, I kid you not, a red balloon had gotten stuck up there and floated down. And so there's still a little bit of, you know, like helium in it. So I flip on the lights and I turn. There's like an intersection, right? It's a big old square kind of facility with play structure in the middle. So I turn, look down the left hallway, and there's this balloon. And I was like, nope. So I left it alone because I'm not following it. I'm not going over. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just pretending like I didn't see it.
Yeah.
And so I made the mistake of telling one of my coworkers that, you know, like I saw it, I was terrified, red balloon in the facility. So this fucker went out after we'd opened, found a kid, paid him $2 to run back and forth.
Yes.
With this balloon.
Yes.
So it was at the time, like, we were super busy, super packed, a lot of people. So, you know, I'm at the front desk, like, checking people in, doing all that good stuff. And I just, out of my peripherals, like, see this red balloon go one way. And then I see it come back another way. And it took me a while. But the guy who did it was standing right next to me. And he's just, like, over there.
Oh, dude. I would
because been. I kept looking at him and trying to be like, hey, there's, did you see the balloon?
That's not great. I didn't
see a balloon. But I'm also trying to, like, you know, engage with people. Yeah, and just out of my peripheral, this dude was just having field day. I was so on edge for like an hour because this balloon kept going back and forth. And I was like, dude, fucker. And then he told me afterwards, I was so pissed.
Dude.
But it's like, you know, game respects game, right? Like,
sure.
I was like, hey, that's fucking brilliant, but you're a dick.
You know what I would have done to you? I'd have stole your car keys and I'd have taken a red balloon out and rigged that fucker to your car door that as soon as you closed it, it like floated to the top of your car. Oh, fuck. That would have been great. So another thing that got me with this movie is in the 90s series, they don't show the whole Georgie scene. Like, you just see him talking to him and then it cuts before Georgie dies. So I was expecting they would do the same thing. They don't usually show children being unalived on movies, which for good reason, right? But I was like, oh, fuck. Because that is not what happens in this movie. And that's one of my favorite scenes. It's wild because it's one of my favorite scenes in the 90s version because Tim Curry is Tim Curry. And then it's one of my favorite scenes as well in this movie because Bill Skarsgård takes it and does it completely different. It's the same dialogue, but it's completely different. And like the whole, hello, Georgie. Like, I'm just like, oh, dude, it's one of my favorite. Like, I say that shit randomly as I'm walking. I'm like, hello, Georgie. Do you want a balloon?
Oh, he does such a good job. Like, it's really about the intonation and the cadence of it, the way he speaks, and then the pauses and just the eyes. Like, oh, all of it. I mean, what a well done. That's really good scene. It definitely, even having seen it a couple times, the tension is just there because, you know, I remember just watching a couple of days ago. Now you're like, is he going to put his hand all the way in? Is he going for the boat? Is he going to do it? Like, don't do it. Like, one thing that confuses me, Jay, though, with it is when he does decide to kill one of his victims, like with Georgie, he just outright went and did it. But some of these other kids, he's playing like the long con. And help me understand it, because he could have killed most of these kids whenever he wanted, basically, but he didn't. Like, did he need more fear? Like, obviously with Georgie, he just met Georgie, but he often, like, that's one thing when I watch this that it doesn't always add up to me. And I, having someone that hasn't read the book and things like that, that to me it feels there's some discrepancies on when it is allowed or when it can kill versus when it actually happens.
Yeah, so... And I don't remember. I think it's 27 years or some 30.
Yeah, it's 27. Every 27 years. Oh, I should say, fun fact for part of trivia, the TV show came out in 1990.
Yeah.
It came out in 2017.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They did that on purpose, too. He made sure, like, when Muschietti was doing it, he's like, it has to come out in 2017, which was awesome. That's the kind of weird fucker he is. Anyway, so... In the book, like, they mention that Georgie is at the end of the 27-year cycle. So he's the last, like, so he's not. But his favorite thing is, like, you see the next 27 years later, like, it's different. So they don't show that in the movie, right? Because it looks like Georgie's the first. Or it's, you know what I mean? He's early on in the cycle. But in the book, like... They really lean into the fear element of the more afraid they are, the better they taste because he eats them. I mean, that's or part of them at the very least when he's killing his victims. And so the other piece about it too is it's not just kids in the book. Like, he does kill some adults as well. He just tends to go for kids because their fear level is easier to trigger and lasts longer. And the more that he does and plays with them, the higher the fear level, the more they taste good. And so, like, that's why there's that line when he's drooling, he's like, tasty, beautiful fear. Like that's his thing. So with Georgie, it's and I said that he was the end of the cycle. It's the beginning of the cycle. So he's not as worried about it. He's just getting his first taste to ignite the fear. Georgie disappears. All they find is nothing. And so, like, now there's this ramped up, kids are disappearing. The two bullies disappear. So, like, they start to get the fear level in the kids, and then he starts to work on. And then the more fear that he can ramp up, that's why he picks a group and he starts working on them. And he only has a finite amount of time before he has to go. All right.
That makes more sense to me. In terms of the whole floating aspect, what's the thing behind that? Because obviously he eats them, they float. Like, what is that?
So that's where shit gets a little weird. So, like, Stephen King, if you get into Stephen King's books and his, like, whole bibliography, I don't know, all of his fucking books, if you get into, like, every one of them and start looking, there are crossover themes, and there are places where, like, for example, he has the Dark Tower series, which is a series of books, but they talk about it. They don't mention it as it, but they talk about it in that series. They also talk about, and shit gets weird. So in the beginning of this movie, you see Georgie and you see Bill, and there's like a little Lego turtle or whatever that's on like a stand. So at the end, they don't ever show this in the movies or the TV show because this shit's fucking weird, but there's a fucking giant turtle that's in space that's its mortal enemy, okay? And it tells them how to defeat it. You read that in the book and it kind of takes, you're like, this is fucking weird. But there's a whole sequence of events, or like a process that they have to go through in order to defeat it. And they learn that from this fucking turtle and this space turtle. And it's this entity that comes from space, and it covers, like, it's this multidimensional thing. And so Stephen King's books all tie in together in this huge multiverse type thing. But you have to, like, really read, it's very subtle, and you have to really read through all of his books and get into some of his later stuff to identify that. But the floating thing comes from that interdimensional piece where he talks about the floating because of the balloon references and things like that, but the dead lights make the kids float, and then that all comes as part of it's really like I could spend a week talking to you about it, and it probably wouldn't make a ton of sense. But there's a website, and I forget the website. I'll have to look it up and I'll put it somewhere. I'll let you guys know. But there's a website that goes through like all of Stephen King's multiverse and how it all connects. But it's all part of this weird backstory, but it makes for a good line.
With Beverly, obviously she didn't get killed. She was just floating. Mm-hmm. Why did he do that and just not start to eat her?
So it was to ignite the fear in the kids, because the kids were starting to, like, one, he was savoring her, and then he knew that the fear would be greater when they came around. He didn't anticipate it triggering
bravery.
Bill. Yeah, bravery, because all these kids fell in love with Beverly, right? And they had their childhood puppy love, and so it triggered their bravery versus the fear that he was hoping for. But that's why. At least in the movie, it doesn't happen exactly the same way in the books, but similar. It's just not there.
So is it fair to say the way this movie ends, when he's going into the further hole and then disappears, he was kind of, while annoyed that he had to disappear, then almost fine with it because his time was almost up anyways?
Yeah, he was pissed off, and that's why he comes after them as adults, because typically, like I said, adults aren't his thing. But because they defeated him and they think they kill him, because they follow this ritual that this turtle tells them about in a dream, whatever. So they think they kill him, but they don't complete the cycle. And so, which is very different from what they do in the end of the second movie. But anyway, so they don't defeat the cycle. So he just goes into hiding for the next 27 years. And then they're all adults when he comes back, but he holds a grudge and he's pissed. because nobody's ever in all the eons of time that he's been on Earth and doing this in this place going back centuries, he's never been defeated. And so he's pissed. And so he holds a grudge against these kids when they're adults.
Got it. What's its origin story? Did it like, where does it stem from?
I don't remember. I know it's part of like a, it's like a spatial entity. Like it, like I said, the turtle floats around in space.
So this is where it's now, it's just getting weird. Cause I'm like, thought it would have just been some orphan kid that in like the 1600s, something happened. And then it's just been like that. But the whole space thing is.
No. And weird. It's like he lands it. Like they think it lands as like and so underneath the city, and you don't get much, they kind of hint at it. So in Derry, it landed as like a meteorite type thing. And it left this big fucking bowl crater in this city. And the city then is built on top of this crater that it created when it landed. And so that's why it's in the sewers, because they build the sewers in this crater. It makes sense for the place where the sewers would be. So they built it inside the crater and built the city of Derry on top of that crater and sewer system. So that's where he lives and comes out of. And he's been there since, like I said, for centuries. He landed there before there were, like, if I remember right, before there were even.
All right, we're just going to pretend that doesn't exist, because that's a little.
Yeah, like I said, there's some shit in the book that gets a little weird.
Like that, I could honestly do without, because it just makes it space turtle. Like, what the hell?
See, I'm okay glad they didn't do that. Because creepy clown is bad. Space turtle is good.
Yeah, space turtle is pretty cool. And in the book, it's really like we're talking about it and it sounds stupid, right? And it wouldn't translate very well into film or TV, which is why they don't ever go there with it. The closest they went with it is like that ritual where they go into their little fort in part two. It shows them going into that underground fort that they build, and the smokehouse, and they sweat their balls off in it, and they all have the visions and shit. That's how they learn about the turtle and learn about how to defeat it, is through that. So they do play that part out. They just leave the weird space turtle and shit. And they talk about how he's been there for a long time, back when the Native Americans were there and things like that. So, but it doesn't translate. But in the book, it makes sense, because they're talking when he goes to, when one of them goes up and talks to the turtle, and the turtle's telling him how to defeat it. Like, it goes through its entire origin story and like how, so it makes sense in the book how they relay it. It's just weird. And the turtle has a name. I just don't remember what it is. So it's less weird in the book. In the show, it wouldn't work, which is why they've never done it.
Hmm. Okay.
Anyway. Well,
we're now confused and intrigued.
Yeah, you're edumacated, but not, I don't know. Like I said, it's such an intricate 1,200-page book that it's hard to relay.
Another spot that was interesting to me is clearly it is adept at putting fear in someone else's mind or in the group of minds, but then other people can't see it. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was an interesting premise.
Yeah. It's another thing that like you have to be susceptible to that fear. And so a lot of times that's again why he doesn't usually go after adults, because they forget their fears. Like Alec never did, but some of us, we forget our fears. Like
I got more.
We grew up into adulthood, and that's like the hint that when they became adults, they forgot everything that they did and went through as kids with it, because it was a bad dream, or you know what I mean? They just, because that's what we do as adults. With them though, it was very much like, we need to trigger this. And so that's why they remembered it. And he used his, because he wanted them, because mm-hmm. he was pissed. But yeah, it's all about like, he's not going to lean into and let you see him if it's not going to make for a tasty meal later. It's just not worth the effort for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how. And so he learned as a, you know, when he first got on Earth, and it's process throughout his process, the kids are just the easiest.
Yeah. What's the other thing? Shoot. I was going to ask something else too. I can't remember. It'll come to me.
Yeah. There were some, like, to your point, Alec, that part. So the basement part with Georgie coming out of the water and then it coming out and just like that was different. And I love, a lot of people didn't like it. They bitched about the weird, like vibrating visual as it came through, but I fucking loved it. Like I thought it was so good. and leaned into like, this is not real, but it is real enough that, yeah. So I'm with you. That scene. And then the voice changing.
That's where it really got me.
Where the eyes just barely come out of the water. Yeah. And George, you'll float too. You'll float too.
Yeah. I was like, like,
that's a fucked up scene.
I'm gone. Like, first of all, I'm not going to the basement to begin with, but the instant I'm out of there and I am running away from home.
Yep. Yeah, that one played on a lot of fears for me because of the basement. I hated it.
Oh, I know what I was going to ask. The bullies, is that true to the books or do they deviate a lot? I mean, clear that kid was, I mean, he was going to kill somebody either way in his life, it seemed like, but then it just kind of ramped him up.
Yeah, that is very true to the book. That character, in fact, it's even more so, I think, than in the TV series, like how he comes back as adults if you watch part two. But yeah, in part one, like he carves, like they show, because they didn't show that in the 90s either, but he carves shit into that kid's stomach. And that, I mean, Ben has that scar for life. And so it's like he absolutely tortures. And in fact, when they're adults, like, and they can't remember it, they remember him, like Billy or whatever his name was. I don't remember his name, but they remember him and kind of relay a lot of like the shit that they went through to him, because that it used him and then uses him again as an adult. And that was the one thing, like that kid had so much fear of everything because he was afraid of his dad. His dad beats the shit out of him, that it was able to like control him to a certain degree.
That's what it seemed like.
Yeah. And then use him to instill more fear in these other kids.
But did you say he came back as an adult? He's dead, though.
The kid?
Yeah.
No, he's in a psychotic because he kills his dad.
I thought he fell down the well, though.
He did, but it didn't kill him. He ends up coming back, and they show that in part two. He comes out of the well. He climbs out of the well, and then he goes and he stabs his dad in the neck with that fucking switchblade, that thing that pops out. He puts it, his dad's sleeping in a chair, and he puts it to his neck and just and kills him because it's telling him to. There's like a fucking balloon in there, and it's like,
I thought he did that in the movie already. It did kill his dad?
Maybe he did. I don't remember. They all bleed together to me. But he ends up in an asylum. That's in the first one. He ends up in an asylum as an adult. Like he gets tried for killing his dad. Because the well scene doesn't happen the same way. Like he does fall, like he goes in the well with them, but they like beat the shit out of him and chase him off. But he ends up in an asylum, just like in part two. That's who comes in part two and comes back and tries to kill
Beverly. He needed it. That kid was on a crash course either way.
Yeah, he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But yeah, that's pretty true to the book.
And the other part of this movie that always gets me is Beverly's dad and that tension and just like,
yeah,
you know, they do a good job of implying, you know, what is happening without them. I mean, obviously no one needs to or wants to see any of that or even enough of the alluding. They do a very good job telling you what's happening without showing you what's happening, I should say.
Yeah, for sure. And her scene was one that really bothered me too. Like the whole talking through the sewers and then her hair gets caught and pulled down, like and the blood spitting out of it. Like they did a really good job of that scene. And her dad, you're right. Like they ramped it up because her dad in the series and in the book, it's rough too. Like they don't go much further than the series does, but like it's just uncomfortable to your point. Like you're like, oh God, you just feel for Beverly on so many levels.
I'm sorry. They are no way in hell they're cleaning all that blood up like they did well as they did. Not a fat chance. No way.
Yeah. Yeah, no. But it was all about the fear. Yeah, I like this remake in a lot of ways better than the 90s version, except Tim Curry. I love Tim Curry.
Tim Curry over Bill Skarsgård? If you could try to eliminate your nostalgia factor.
If I take the nostalgia factor out of it, then no, I think I'd go with Bill Skarsgård just because his is more sinister, like as a clown. There's parts with Tim Curry that he's kind of goofy, when he's scary, he's scary, but it's the things he does to the kids that are scary. And then he's kind of goofy as a clown. Bill Skarsgård is just fucking creepy as this clown. And then the shit that he does to these kids is terrible.
For me, having seen both, I feel like Bill Skarsgård's interpretation is truer to what it would probably actually be like, where Tim Curry does a great job, but at times it's a little comical. And I think it's more just the signs of the times as well. How it was.
Yeah, for sure. Beep, beep, Richie. That's another one I say all the time. Beep, beep, Richie. Somebody pisses me off. Beep, beep, Richie. What a great movie.
We should rate it. But if I was a kid or like an early preteen, I'd seen this, I would not be hanging around like a curb and a sewer thing. Like, oh my goodness. Cause I used to do that. I remember when I was younger, I went into sewers and like you try to see how far you could go. Or like climb down in a manhole. Ooh-wee, dude. If I had seen this like the time you saw this when that came, hell no, dude. Effing way.
Yeah. Nope. We did it too when I was younger. Like we'd be like, oh, how far can you get in without falling? Especially when it wasn't raining. But then like after I saw this or saw that, I never went fucking near.
Even now when I'm an adult, you want me to climb, go in a tunnel like that half a day? No. No, yeah. I don't need to.
There was an amazing Halloween setup. Somebody's house had one right in front of their house. And so they put a cardboard thing of its face and the glowing eyes inside of it.
Dude, that'd scare you.
With a fucking red balloon string coming out of it. I was like, I would not go to your fucking house for candy. Like, there's not a chance. Because it's one of those things you're like, why is there a red balloon right there? And then if you walk back out and look at it, you're like, oh, fuck off. Because it looked like all you saw was his eyes that were glowing and they were bright yellow coming out of this dude's sewer. And I was like, that's cool. Clever as fuck. But I'm not going to your house. I don't want your candy, bitch. I don't want it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, oh, it was man. Great.
Yeah, oh, was yeah no, 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 thank you.
I'll find it and send you a picture of it. It'll be the next day, but I'm just gonna randomly text it to you fuckers. So he pulls it up and be like, oh, I hate you so much.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, now giving it justice, like that the sewer scene, it's definitely getting up there for me, one of the more iconic scenes in cinema for me. Like it has a lasting power. I still think about it sometimes when I see like a manhole, like I'm like, ooh, nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
I don't do sewers because of like not that I want to go crawling around in one as an adult, but and the clowns I've kind of gotten over for the most part, but like I still don't want to. Like I do look at manholes and sewer drains because there's one not far from my house and I'm like, I'll cross the street here.
You could definitely put me like a game show and put me down there and have it be dark and have actors come to do some stuff. I would not be happy. It would not be a good time.
Yeah. See, I'm weird because I'll go spend the night in a old asylum, right? That's haunted and scary as fuck. But I will cross the street near a sewer drain, one of those open sewer drains, because it's just uncomfortable from a childhood perspective. I know it's fucking dumb, but it's real. Like I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Alec will have dinner with the serial killer and just be totally fine. Be like, where have you been?
But yeah. I'm crossing the street when there's a sewer drain too. Like I'm not stupid.
Yeah. Come on, Alec. You're crossing the street before you, like if you know one's there, you're like,
I have them all marked on the map and I avoid every single one of them.
Yeah. I believe it.
I'm just hoping Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are coming out. That's all. That's what I tell myself. I'm like, where's my pizza?
Yeah. Space Turtles though. You don't want those. All right, Alec, this is your pick, buddy. Your rating time.
Oh, I hate this part. So this movie is tricky because I hate it, but I've seen it multiple times. It has that perverse kind of I'm terrified of it, but Bill Skarsgård does such a good job that I can't not watch. I have to watch through my fingers at some points, but I still have to watch. And then when I'm done with it, I was like, okay, after I get past the, nail biting terror Like, hey, that was actually pretty good. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing that again at some point.
Yeah.
So it's the only horror movie that has ever qualified like that. Mm. Even part two of your chapter two of it, I'm like, no, I'm okay. But this one has some kind of weird hold on me. And it's rough. I think I got to give it a 4.
Nice.
And, you know, I would love to say I'm never going to watch it again, but I know I am. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah. I like it. Come on, dude. Part two in the sewer when Bill Hader gets ready to throw the rock and the freaking deadlights hit him. That's one of the greatest moments. Like, he's just, and Bill Hader kills it in that shit. But when he throws it, he's just like, oh, like dead face. That's great, dude. Come on. You got to watch that shit again.
No, thanks. I'm good.
All right, Mattson, what do you give it?
I think I'm going to give it a 4.5. The only reason it's not a 5 for me is I do think this movie at times could be scary. And I know there's some sense from the general viewing public that they felt it could be a little scary at point. Cause I've seen this enough besides the librarian scene, everything else for me is you just come to expect it. And then even when Pennywise, like later on when he's in the room and having those interactions, he's not, it's, I don't know, it's less that it's scary. He's certainly still sinister, but it doesn't carry the same gravitas for me as some of those other scenes do. And I think maybe they could have leaned in. I don't know how they would have done it, but like the basement scene for, I mean, yeah. Or like the sewer scene at the beginning, they hit it. They had it perfectly. But then I think some of these other more important scenes at the end as these things are happening, don't land the same for me at the climax of the movie. And so for that, I'll give it a 4.5.
I like it. I'm going to give it a 4.5 as well. And I think I'm on the similar lines as you, Mattson, as far as where my score comes from. And that's it, the only difference that I say is I think when they got the scary right, they got it really right. Like, I think too about the garage scene, right? With the, what's
that? Oh yeah. That's another good one. Great, yeah.
Yeah. When they're clicking through the slide projector and it's that's like,
a good one.
He gets all like the hairs covering the mom or the sister and then the face. And then it's like here he gets and then he pops out like you're like, oh, fuck. But my problem is I think Muschietti got in his own way and was like, we need to tell more from the book. And I know that's like blasphemous coming from me because usually I want more from the book. What I want is more of the scare tactics that it used from the book and less about the additional pieces of the story. Like, I don't need to know the kid that's, you know, the clean freak and Eddie and his mom's weird. Like, we spent too much time on some of the backstory, in my opinion, and I want more of it. And I want more of the scare. I like some of the backstory, especially the really impactful ones, right? Like Bill and Georgie, Beverly and her dad. I think even the kid, like the library scene with Ben, the nun dude, like lady or the creepy in the church with the one kid. All of those worked, but they spent so much time telling some of that backstory that I think it got in the way. And I get why he was doing it because the 90s version didn't do it and people complained about it. But I think if you could have found a way to do what he did, what Bill Skarsgård did with it and lean into that and just do just what you need to sympathize with these kids and understand where their fear's coming from, I think it would have been a better movie. And I think it would have been a little shorter. It's a little long for me, to be honest. Like, yeah. And that is because they're trying to tell the whole story. And while I won't fault it because I think it's a great movie, I can't give it a 5 because of just they overdid it a little for me. But man, when they got it right, boy, did they get it right. Like that, the garage scene, the sewer scene, the basement scene. And like, there's scenes where I'm like, no, thanks. I don't need it to come around, especially Bill Skarsgård's it. So 4.5 for me. I watch this movie.
Should I watch number 2?
Have you not seen it?
I don't think I haven't. I guess I haven't.
I'd watch it. Like, it does a good job completing the story, and the adult actors are really good. There's less it in it than I would like, but the story from the adult perspective is pretty good. Until you get to the end, the way they defeat him is really stupid. But other than that, it's good.
Okay. I'll probably wait till Halloween-ish time, but all right.
Yeah, works for me.
Put it on the podcast because that's another one I can handle.
Yeah, there you go.
Save it for October. Let's do it.
I like it. All right. Well, that was it. Alec, tell everybody where they can find us.
Happy to. Well, that is it done. Thank you very much. I'm a big boy bitch now, guys. 3 weeks in, and I've only cried twice, and that is what I call victory. What do you guys think of it? Let us know, and while you're at it, hit the like and subscribe button so you can tune in next week where we are scheduled to watch the scariest movie ever made, Mattson's Home Videos. Just kidding, but we do have a couple great picks left that you will want to be here for. Special thanks to our current patrons, Rich, So Puckered, and Max Bialystock, for selecting this month's movies. You guys are awesome. With that, I'll send it back to the Wizard of WAP, the Mauling Monarch, JJ.
Yeah, thanks, Alec. And with that, I'll say we appreciate you tuning in as always. We'll catch you on the next one.
Whoa! Bye. Hasta la vista, baby.
Cinematic.